everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable episode 245, where we are talking Double Angel today. We've got season 4, episode 9, Long Day's Journey, and season 4, episode 10, Awakening. My name is Caitlin. I am a super fan. I am joined by fellow super fan Mai and newbies Ariana, and no other newbie could be on but Brittany for these episodes. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
All right, so just a reminder of how you can get in touch with us to talk about these episodes. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com. And you can find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. Now, as usual, to get you used to the sounds of our voices, we're going to start with some fun facts for the week. Who has a good fun fact to start with? Ariana, let's start with you.
All right. Well, after watching Awakening, I was left yearning for the good old days. So I spent the past week rewatching old Angel episodes. And let me tell you, it is a roller coaster ride of emotions watching it, like knowing what's going to happen. So I don't know how you guys did that, but kudos to all of you super fans. But it's just, I really recommend it. It's so beautiful, these people, how they used to be so happy. In particular, I want to give like a shout out to Shanshu in LA. Is that the name of it? The season 1 finale?
Yeah.
So it has some really good moments that, like, looking back, you're like, oh, it's so beautiful. My favorite was at the end when Cordelia, like, as Mai has pointed out before, when Willow saw everything falling apart or everyone hurting, she's like, I must kill them all to end the hurting. And Cordelia instead is like, we have to help them because she's so precious and pure, used to be. And then she decides to become a better person. And then at the end, she gets like snippy again and she's like, sorry, that was, or she says something about, or Wes is like, it's really weird getting used to like new you. And then she says something snippy, and then she's like, oh, sorry, that was old me again. And Angel goes, I like them both. And I was like, oh, this is so precious. He likes her always. He likes her when she's snippy, and he likes her when she's like a champion. This is awful. Anyway, we're going to talk about things this episode. I'm here for the dream sequence, not Angelus, obviously.
Well, on that note, let's turn it over to Brittany for her fun fact.
Oh, you people, you super fans and your, you know, rigid no comments all the time, making me make predictions on last week's episode. And I can't believe, knowing the titles of these episodes, I couldn't figure it out. So, good job. And thanks for letting me get through that. But my fun fact, we'll talk so much more about what we need to talk about in a little bit. But my actual fun fact is something I mentioned right before coming on the episode, and that's that tomorrow is my 4th and final Christmas. I have family all over the place, and we can only get together at certain times during the week between Christmas and New Year's. And so tomorrow, I'm seeing the last bit of family in the morning on New Year's Eve, closing out Christmas before the new year. And I'm kind of excited because it's my two little nieces, and I got them these cute little books where they have to go in search of the letters of their names, and they're customized. And the first batch of books got lost in the mail, which was the worst thing in the world because I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for these. And I ordered them so far ahead of Christmas and they didn't come. And then today I got home from third Christmas and they were on the doorstep. So I get to give them their books tomorrow, which is really exciting. And also Angelus is here, so.
Awesome. All right, Mai, what about you?
My fun fact is that Capitals just scored and I'm watching hockey in the background.
I did pass that on the way to the Hallmark Channel.
All right. And my fun fact is that I have a job interview next week. I'm
how exciting for what?
It's a part-time tutoring job. I work as an adjunct English instructor, and adjuncts don't have very good job security. I was looking for the word, or much pay. So I've been looking to add a part-time job to everything else that's going on. So I just heard back from this company that I'm meeting with next week. So hopefully I can add a few hours of like English language arts test prep tutoring to my schedule coming up.
Because you don't do enough.
I know.
Exactly. I know. I was sorry.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Like, oh, this is so like, this is so much work. This doesn't really seem fair, Caitlin, because you're so like overeducated.
Well, at least this test prep center requires you to have a master's degree to work there. So there's that. So they pay a little bit more. It's completely part-time, which is exactly what I want. But I went into the wrong field to make any money. So I got to find ways to make money where I can. So looking for more jobs. Not super fun.
It's great that we value education so much.
I know. It's true. Meanwhile, I'm working on a second master's degree because, you know, whatever. I'm clearly making the smart choices in my life. So. All right. That being said, Brittany had a smart choice this week, watching these episodes early and sending me her thoughts, which was amazing because I told her she needed to watch them.
Yeah, as soon, literally the second that I have the recording, it's the second that Kristen stops saying goodbye on our recording, Caitlin goes, Brittany, I need you to go watch these next two episodes immediately. Like, what? Why? And I was like, yeah, no, it's fine. I'll watch them. But I did watch them within a half hour of ending the recording. And I'm like, no, maybe I'll edit the episode and I'll watch them tomorrow. And then I watched the first episode. And then I immediately started messaging Caitlin and pacing my room. And just, I've been screaming for an entire week, guys. For an entire week. It's my time has come.
I was really hoping on that episode that you would hit awakening and be like, my time has come.
Oh, it's right there. And I think I would have probably said something if I'd seen the episode title for next week as well. Not these two episode titles, but the one for next week, because it's called Soulless. So I was like, if I had seen that, it would have been a game changer, but you know, I'm just so sick of Connor. I was looking for any way to get rid of Connor.
But yes, so Brittany, after all this time of giving up hope of ever seeing Angelus again, got her wish, though we didn't see much of him, but
all right.
There's promise.
Now I will give a full disclosure confession. I watched the next episode after the end of this because it was not fair. I was not waiting a week to record this and then having to watch the next episode. So full disclosure, watched it, and that's all I have to say.
So that'll make
predictions to be on next week's episode as well.
All right. Well, we have to
build up to
Angelus's return. First, we have episode 409, A Long Day's Journey. Our synopsis for this episode reads, in this episode, Connor is pouting again, and Cordelia, newly jealous of Electro Girl, is still acting like a creepy psycho, and everyone else is just trying to stop the world from turning into eternal night. In the end, the sun goes out and everyone realizes that the Beast and Angelus are old pals. So, can we just say that Connor's terrible?
Oh, we've been saying it for weeks.
I mean, but he feels especially terrible this week.
I can't deal with his face. Like, I think the character himself is just horrible, but like looking at him makes it even worse. Like if I was reading this character, I'd be so angry all the time. But the fact that I have to look at him too just makes it even worse. I can't. And I can't. He's so bad. Just makes everything awkward.
Is there anything they could do with this character that would redeem him for anyone?
Cut his hair.
The only way he would be redeemable is if we found out, which I'm still not entirely convinced didn't happen, that Holt switched the babies. Yes. And he is not Connor at all. And that the real Connor is in Reseda right now, being nursed by some orphanage woman who's very kind and will return the baby.
I'm still holding on to that hope that that's a real thing.
I mean, you never know. He never thought Angelus would appear again, so.
I really didn't, because I was like, season four is a dumpster fire, which I, the phrase I've stolen from Adiana, because it's the perfect phrase for this, to describe this season. And there was literally nothing that could make it better. And it was so bad that I'm like, no, they can't bring Angelus back because it's so bad and they're making all the wrong decisions. Why would they make the right decision to bring Angelus back? And look, guys, the savior is here.
It's, I feel like it's a really nice time to bring him back because I know originally, like, I thought, oh, for sure he'll be back by season two. Mm-hmm. Like, that's ridiculous. How are they not going to play their best card? But I really like now that they've waited so long. So now it's like, ah, now finally. And now that everybody knows him so well and now everybody cares about him, it'll be a lot harder to kill him than in season two when he inevitably escapes his cage.
Yeah, and there's so many people who haven't met him, like in
nobody knows him except Cordelia.
I know,
and she's with the psycho, but nobody else has met him.
It's so great. Well, Wes has. Wes was around, right?
No.
Wes
showed up in season three. Angelus was season two.
Oh. So she's literally the only one.
Wes, yeah. Wes doesn't know him. You're correct.
Everyone's underestimating how terrible of an idea this is. Mm-hmm. But we'll get there.
He's smarter than all of them. They're so dumb. This is a terrible idea.
Which is something that Cordelia talks about. And Angel gets very offended, which is hilarious. Adiana, you have a great note here about Angel's drawing again. I always like when they show his
art. I know.
Yeah.
I love that that's like his thing. Like his therapy is art and he's so good at art. And then like, it brings it all the way back to season one when Cordelia went out to go buy him art supplies.
Mm-hmm. And just feelings.
Guys.
But people are interrupting Angel's attempts at art therapy by telling him to get over his anger, and Angel's not having it. So I'm guessing Adiana is very upset about this, but how are we feeling about everyone trying to tell Angel to kind of get over it and keep moving on?
I'm so upset about it because I feel like you put it really perfectly last week, Caitlin, when you were like, in any other circumstance, I would say get over it because you have no right to say who she does or does not sleep with. But in this one very special case, I feel like he has every right to be upset. Like, these people are terrible. She's so in the wrong. She's just 100% in the wrong, and more so in the wrong because of the way she acts afterwards. You do not get to sleep with your baby and then show up the next day acting like everything is cool. Like, you don't get to do that. You need to have some shame, woman. These people are terrible. They're awful.
And I think it makes, like, the next episode so much more powerful because we're inside Angel's head the whole time. And you don't really know that until the end. And then you realize just how horrible these people are and how much Angel is willing to give.
Yes.
Like, he's like, please, I am cutting all the slack here. And you guys are like acting like I'm not doing anything to make this right.
Yes.
But you're the people who have to at least take a teeny tiny step towards me and, like, you know, confront all of your wrongdoings, especially when Cordelia is like mad at him for being sulky, and she's like,
"Mad,
oh, stop leaving." I'm like, what? First of all, he can brood whenever he damn well pleases. Second of all, shut up. Like,
yes. Oh, I really feel like his anger at her is, it's not from her sleeping with Connor. I think from there was sadness. But like, now that he's angry, I feel like it's much more because of her reaction afterwards and mm-hmm. like walking around being like, it's not a big deal and like la la la, and still like flirting a little bit and like getting jealous and acting basically like a psycho. I think that's where his anger comes from, that he's like, why won't you just acknowledge that you hurt me? This is hurtful. I love you and you said you love me and then you slept with my kid.
And she even says to Connor, we hurt him. We messed up, but when she's in front of Angel, she won't acknowledge it.
This is all she has to say. She can even go in and say, look, I'm not going to say sorry for sleeping with him because I can do whatever I want with my body, but I'm sorry that you feel hurt. Like, that's all she needs to say. Like, I'm sorry you're hurting. I'm sorry for that. But nobody wants to apologize here. Nobody wants to admit that they did anything wrong. That's why we have all these problems.
Yeah, and we see, I know we're like jumping around, but the fact that these two are from the same show, it's like hard, that when Wes was just like, I'm sorry, and like walked away, and Angel was like, I think that's the first time I've ever heard you say that. Like, it was just so perfect, and that's all it takes. That's literally all it'll take for either of them.
That really is like all he's looking for, is like an acknowledgement that he was wronged in some way.
Yes.
And then he's like, and then cool. I forgive you. Everything's great. Yeah. That's all I you need is bad? Acknowledgement.
Don't feel bad anymore. Let's be friends.
Yeah, because I'm going to rip your alternate personality to shreds the over the arc of the entire next two episodes anyway. Being like, you are a horrible human being. Or vampire. Sorry, he's not a human being. This is the second time in 2 weeks that I've done that. I made like a spike comment about him being human too. Oh. But yeah, it's like, just say you're sorry, and then you can go on telling me what a horrible person I am for two straight episodes, and everyone will be happy and fine.
So, what do you think about Cordelia at this point and the way she's acting?
How do you feel, Brittany? I feel like this cannot be her. Like, she has to be possessed by the first. And I don't know if this is, like, wish fulfillment of my own. But, like, she's being so weird and just, like, not being able to process how she hurt Angel. It's just so bizarre. And her, like, we can talk about this more in the next episode. But just, like, it's so weird how different she is versus how we know her to be, or how she is like an Angel's mind. Like, that's so real her. I'm thinking, I don't know, it's just so weird.
Yeah, I think like my biggest problem is that even when she was dating, what was that guy? Oh, this horrible, I can't remember his name, the guy from the other realm who came back, the like
Gru.
Yeah. Even when she was dating Gru, she still kind of felt bad. You know what I mean? Like, this, like, we've seen her do things that are, like, not intentionally hurting Angel. Like this kind of feels like it is. But she still was able to recognize what was going on around her and read a room and, like, you know, take in what was other people were feeling. And that's what I liked about the new Cordelia, like, the Angel Cordelia, was that it was, like, still kind of about her, but she felt more and gave more out, and I liked that she was becoming a part of a team, and that Cordelia just doesn't seem to exist anymore. It's like, oh yeah, I'm totally part of a team, but not if it means I have to do something that I don't want to do or say something that's hard for me. Like, that was never, it doesn't feel like the Cordelia we got to know. So like, the fact that we're having such repulsive feelings toward Cordelia just doesn't make any sense. So it has to be intentional.
It almost feels like this whole thing was orchestrated to get Angel off his game so that the Beast can take over and ruin Sunnydale. Like, this is what it feels like. It's so, it's just so ridiculous. Like, this doesn't feel like her in any way, like, not in her compassionate way that we know her to be, like, her good side, and not even in, like, her, like, dark side where she's, like, blunt and says whatever she thinks, because she's not doing that either. She's just, I like, right now, I hate her. I hate her, and this, it makes me so angry because I love her, but I think maybe because I love her so much, that's why I hate her so much right now, because I want better from her.
Yeah, I do like the idea, though, that this is playing into what's going on in Buffy, because honestly, how could it not? Like, LA and Sunnydale, from what I imagine, they're not that far apart, and, like, you can't have two apocalypses happening at the same time, like, in within a 50-mile radius. So I'm assuming, like what you said, Ariana, where, like, the first or something is going on to get Angel off his game and give this beast power, but somehow that's going to feed something that's going to happen in Sunnydale, which I hope happens, because, I mean, there's a reason we're watching these episodes in a particular order, even though the superfans won't tell us why.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they connect.
Yeah.
We still don't know how she got down here, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Or even if it is her. Is it her?
I mean, honestly, I would be like, this is the first, she's dead. But we know she's touched things because she's touched Connor.
Oh. That's unfortunate.
Why you gotta say stuff like that?
All right, so Cordelia is not the only one being kind of off. We've got Wesley and Gunn are still butting heads. And we're seeing Fred spending more time with Wesley because they're both kind of going into research mode to deal with everything that's going on. So what are we thinking about how that dynamic is playing out?
I'm so over it.
One of my biggest pet peeves on this show is how everyone treats Gunn like he's so dumb and like he doesn't know what's going on. And he's like the smartest of all of these people half the time. Like, because like Fred and Wesley, they're like, oh, well, you know, it's only two of them. That's just a coincidence. Like, bitches, no, that's not a coincidence. Obviously, something's going on. And Gunn keeps going. He's like, the answer is among us, guys. Like, let's look around. The answer's among us. I'm like, duh. Everybody just listen to Gunn, please.
At least for one episode. Like, and see how everything turns out. And even, like, we'll get to it. No, it's the next episode comment. Sorry. They, like, blend together in my head. I'm like, but even when Angel... But it's Angel's been... We'll get there.
We will. Mai, why are you so sick of this?
Because I don't enjoy watching Wesley act the way he does at the moment. I find him too dark and too prideful, if that makes sense. Like, he's a little bit better than Gunn, and he's really not. Was that disagreement or not?
No, I totally agree.
Okay.
He's acting very hoity-toity about everything.
Hoity-toity.
He is. And he's being so horrible, except for when he was so right in this episode.
No, but okay, Brittany. I know that was so right for, like, us as viewers. Yes. We're like, oh, we love the idea of Angelus.
It's literally the dumbest idea for this universe.
Like, for me. There's an apocalypse happening, so let's bring back the most evil person ever.
Yeah, but no.
Actually, totally Merry Christmas, Brittany.
Yeah, yeah. It was the best Christmas gift I got. Like, it happened before Christmas, and I was sorely disappointed Christmas morning. But...
He's basically like, let's fight this fire with gasoline.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Exactly. No, yeah, it is the stupidest decision because it's just, A, it's going to be a distraction. B, this guy is hell-bent on destroying everything in his path with zero remorse. And C, like, why would you bring something that could possibly, like Caitlin said, feed the fire? Like, it's not great. Like, all for, like, one answer? Why can't they just, like, create a game of Clue and, like, try to make the pieces work without, you know, bringing back Angelus? Although, not complaining.
Also, has anyone stopped to think that this vision that Cordelia is getting might not be real? She's gotten fake visions before. This could totally be the same thing implanted by the first, but like this vision might not even be real. When he's saying, Angel says he doesn't remember it happening and he remembers everything else. So why would he just not remember this one thing? And then he's saying for Lauren and Lauren is like, I got nothing. So is this vision even real? We don't know. But they must think that Wesley thinks it's a good idea. So let's do it, Wesley. You're the smartest person here. Even though, you know, last time you had a grand plan, it ruined everyone's lives.
Yeah, and gave us Connor.
The last time we had a great plan, we have Connor. Like, what? Why?
Yeah, thanks.
So we should probably back up a little bit. We're jumping all over.
Gwen is back.
Yes. Gwen is back. Are we happy that Gwen is back?
Yes.
Yes, I like
that outfit. Yeah.
And Cordelia is jealous.
Cordelia needs to shut up. She does not get to have a word.
Although I do like the idea, like, I don't know if this was actually happening or if I was like casting my feelings onto the screen while I was watching it, but like, I felt like Angel was sort of like pushing him and Gwen to work together more, like being like, no, she stays. No, I'm going to go with Gwen. No, I'm going to do this with Gwen.
Definitely. Wait, he totally was.
Yeah.
Piss Cordelia off. I wasn't sure. I was like, Brittany, he's not doing that. He's so sad.
No.
Like, no, he's probably definitely doing that.
He can be petty too.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
He was brooding and then petty.
He's going to feed the drama.
Yeah. If anyone is going to feed the drama.
We know he's a big drama queen and a sap from next episode.
Yeah.
It's true. So Gwen is back and Angel wants to team up. But Gwen is back because one of her clients was attacked by the beast. And it turns out her client was one of the members of what we learn is the Ra Tet. So they're bringing in some Egyptian mythology here, that these are all, these five supernatural beings, and they all are carrying some kind of orb.
Talisman.
Yes, there's always a talisman. And so the beast is going after them to perform a ritual to blot out the sun. So four are down. When they track down and there's one left and he's in a Hawaiian shirt and he's obnoxious and he's also super pervy. That's Manny.
He's so gross.
It's an old Xander.
I don't know if any of you watched The Good Place, but he reminds me of Mindy St. Clair in The Medium Place.
I love The Good Place. It's back next week.
But yeah, so they're trying to protect him to prevent the beast from performing this ritual. They take him to this hideout that Gwen paid for with all the money she got from that talisman thing. Just there's always a talisman that she got when Angel gave it to her after looking for Cordelia. And we see Gwen and Gunn team up to keep watch, and then they're relieved by Angel and Cordelia. Their drinks get spiked, and Manny gets killed, which seems to imply it's an inside job. And
I wonder who it could be.
Gunn all along has been saying, it's Connor. But then we later get the implication that it's Angel. What do we think? Do we think it really meant Angel, or do we think
you guys? There's no way that Angel became Angelus, then magically turned back into Angel. There's no way that happened.
No, but I do think him or Cordelia are being controlled.
I mean, I guess he could also be controlled by the first, because he's dead technically, and the first controls dead people. So I guess it could be him. I was like, it's Cordelia because I hate her right now. Yeah, I mean, I think it's either one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know which one is being taken control of, but it's one of them. Maybe they both are. Cordelia, now that this first thing is in my head.
Hashtag no comment.
Wait, who gave them the drinks? Who had the drinks?
They had them when they walked in.
They both had them. Oh, shoot.
Cordelia said they made them themselves before they went on watch.
No, that doesn't help us. Well, we narrowed it down to two.
So definitely not Connor, is what we're saying.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he's that good to get into Gwen's place.
Yeah, even if someone was helping him. Also, Connor, like, yeah, he's pissed off and he's, like, being this, like, weird, angsty, jealous teen, but I don't think he would do that to Cordelia right now.
After she rejects him, maybe.
Yeah.
Right now.
But not right now in the timeline.
All right, so the Beast gets all the talismans he needs, and he decides he's going to do this ritual at Connor's.
Why? Did they ever explain why?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's such a nice place.
It's super nice.
there's something going on with Connor and the Beast. It showed up where he was born. It's showing up at his house. I don't know what it is, but maybe Connor is the first incarnated.
We can kill him and everyone will feel better.
He died in the alternate universe and he never came back. It's been the first the whole time.
Somehow that would make me feel a lot better if Cordelia slept with the first versus sleeping with baby Connor.
But yeah, Connor touched Cordelia. So, so that doesn't work.
Darn it.
Did you guys think he was going to succeed in making the sun go out? Or did you think the angel investigations was going to stop him?
I don't know if I put that much thought into it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, were you surprised that the sun actually went out?
Not really, because, I mean, they're going to get it back.
Yeah, there's a whole other season of this show, unless it takes place in darkness, which, hey, all right. Demons roaming the earth.
Once they got down to just Manny, I mean, I was pretty sure Manny was going to die. There's no way that guy was sticking around for the rest of the season.
I would rather the sun go out.
Why did you put this note in the doc?
What?
Oh, no, I did.
Oh, Ariana, perfect. So there's a great note that the sun goes out, but in Offspring, the Niasian prophecies foretold that Connor's creation was going to lead mankind into darkness. And guess what? We're in darkness.
So maybe Wes did have something going on.
It only takes 3 seasons for Wes's ideas to pay off.
So we've got darkness, but we get this other reveal that the Beast keeps talking to Angel like they're familiar, and Cordelia's getting these partial visions of the Beast talking to someone. It turns out it's Angelus, and the Beast seems to be on friendly terms with Angelus. Angel is like, WTF, I have no memory of this.
Beast is just lonely.
He needs a friend.
the power of friendship.
Which, like, Cordelia's, like, sporadic visions of this, and, you know, she's like, oh, I know everything you did as Angelus. Like, I lived every memory, whatever. And the fact that this is so spotty for her and that Angelus doesn't, or Angelus, and that Angel doesn't remember it, it's like, red flags should be shooting up all over the place. And yet everyone's like, no, makes sense.
I know. Everyone's like, okay, sure.
Being unlocked like a level.
Yeah, so everyone's like, oh, The answer is Among Us. It's Angel. Problem solved. What we need is to bring back Angelus.
It means you're a suspect.
So basically everyone's being really stupid at the end of this episode. But Brittany is thrilled.
So must be season four.
Oh, season four of Buffy also sucked, didn't it?
Yes, it did. So, just to wrap this up, what did we think of the way everyone kind of just jumps on this? Like, obviously Angel is a traitor or whatever.
Obviously they're all stupid. They're dumb. They need to go to sleep. They've been working too hard. Mm-hmm. Some food.
Yeah, Wes, like, clearly has not slept in months. And he's going a little bit crazy. And, like, everyone's just, like, listening to him. Except, of course, Gunn, which, fair. Gunn's the only rational one in the group right now.
Exactly.
And like, he basically, you know, when they're like, oh, we need to bring back Angelus. I mean, I think this happened over my screaming. I'm not sure. But they, like, you know, everyone in that room, including Fred, who also doesn't really know who Angelus is like, and Gunn, they're like, do you, all you guys talk about is like how, oh, you don't know Angelus. Like, no, you definitely should never, ever, ever, like, you know, you've never met him. Like, he's horrible. And now they're just like, Wes is like, no, but we should, guys, like, we should bring him to the party. Like, don't bother anyone.
No, we should meet him.
I know he said he was really bad, but you know what? He might have some good ideas to contribute.
Yeah, we'll build a cage.
He's really likely to help us out.
Yeah.
I know. He'll want to help us.
And I, like, you know, I read a lot, so I feel like I can talk to him.
I read lots of stories about Angelus. They want the little watchers. If the little watchers behaved badly, Angelus would come get them.
Like, listen, I read a lot about Voldemort. Still wouldn't want to meet him.
If the apocalypse, exactly, that's what this would be. The apocalypse in Harry Potter's happening, and they're like, let's call Voldemort.
Yeah.
Have some ideas.
I hear he'll know really what to do.
He'll know what to do.
We'll just put him in a cage. It'll work.
It also really bothers me that nobody is ever, I mean, again, this is Wesley. I think he's the smartest person on the whole freaking planet. But, like, why don't they just call up Giles and be like, hey, this shit is happening. What's going on over there with you guys? Anything weird happening?
Yeah. Yeah, is anything weird happening in Sunnydale? Because there's this giant beast here, and Wes is saying he wants to bring back Angelus. So
also, the sun is gone.
Yeah, also, the sun is gone.
Do you not get the news? Because it's on TV.
Can you imagine, like, these people calling up Sunnydale and being like, hey, so we're thinking of calling up Angelus. That seems like her best plan. I'm sure that they would react really well.
Have you tried turning it off first?
Oh, God.
Oh, so everything's terrible, and we'll talk more about why this is terrible in the next episode, because none of this has actually happened yet. But on a sad note, this episode is dedicated in loving memory to Glenn Quinn. He played Doyle. He tragically died on December 3rd, 2002, and this was the first episode after his death. So that's why we have the In Loving Memory at the very end of this episode. Very sad.
Yeah. I forgot that was when it happened. Caught me by surprise.
Yeah, like, I was on such a high, and then I was like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah, so mood killer on that note. But yeah, so very sad. And then we have the international titles for this episode, which in English, again, is A Long Day's Journey. In German, it translates to Fight for the Sun, and in French, it's The Race for the Sun. And it just makes me think of the Avatar episodes. With
yeah, I was thinking about that so much. They're so great. And I just watched them like when the eclipse was happening. Because I was like, wow, I'll watch it in the black sun. No All time right. like the present.
Let's do favorite scenes and favorite lines and then get into what everyone really wants to talk about.
Oh, the 0.5 seconds of the episode? The last 5 seconds of the
episode? That's what Brittany wants to talk about. I know Ariana has some major feels about Angel's Dream, but let's do favorite scenes and favorite lines for Long Day's Journey. My favorite scene is just this random thing, but when the Beast shows up to Connor's, he knocks on the door and waits for Connor to answer.
What if Connor wasn't home?
It's just like, why did you knock?
Because he's polite.
So that just cracked me up that he didn't just like kick the door open or just like walk in, you know. The Beast is polite and knocked before he was going to do this sun blotting ritual. So I found that hilarious. My, your favorite scene.
So we already talked a bit about it, but it's the scene where Angel is talking to Cordelia and it's like, so that orb I used to find you, I gave it to Gwen for like all this money and she used it to pay for this awesome apartment.
Yeah.
And it is a pretty great apartment.
It is. He's so swung about it too. He's like, yeah, I got her this apartment.
Yeah, he's being super petty.
Yeah, for this Pythia orb.
I was living for his pettiness a little bit. I couldn't help it. Ariana, your favorite scene.
What I've been living for this entire season is Angel telling people to go away and get out of his house. I really loved it when Cordelia showed up. And once again, he was like, go away, Cordelia. As he should, because he does not want to see her. But I especially loved when he told her to stop pretending she gives a damn about his feelings. Because, thank you. That's all she's doing is pretending to give a damn. She does not.
Also, she just like walked in that room and like threw the book off the chair. I'm like, what are you doing? Maybe he's looking at that.
And maybe you're not the person to be telling him to get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brittany.
My favorite scene was when Wes said we need Angelus because I wasn't expecting it to like all bad things aside of how horrible of an idea this is. Season 4 is making me want to lose the will to ever continue this podcast because it was getting so bad. And like, this is just the saving grace for me. This is everything I've wanted and I've been waiting for. And I feel like I'm getting rewarded for going through the slumps of the beginning of season 4. Just I almost don't deserve this. So thank you, Angel, for giving me Angelus.
When Wesley was Brittany.
Yeah. Wesley in that moment captured me since Buffy season 2.
All right. Favorite lines. Mine was when Gwen is describing the Beast. And they're like, what did he look like? And she's a demon, okay? The whole 9. Cloven feet, horns, and teeth. And then she sees Lorne. He's like, and he wasn't wearing lame, though. And Lorne goes, yeah, the evil ones can't pull it off. It gets camp. Lorne is just my favorite. And he continues in these 2 episodes his tradition of staying the F out of the way of scary, dangerous things. Yeah. And I just love him so much.
Gives him the heebie-jeebies.
Lorne is forever delightful. My, your favorite line.
Wesley, when he finds out about the plan to blot out the sun, as far as evil plans go, it doesn't suck.
I liked that one. Like, true, it doesn't. Ariana.
I have 2. So my first one is from Gunn, the wisest person ever who nobody listens to, when he goes, see, I told you Connor can't be trusted. Look how weird he's making her. In reference to Cordelia, because yes, he's made her weird. And my second one was when Gwen showed up and she sees Cordelia and she goes, so you're the girl who makes his heart go pitter-pat, figuratively at least. Then she tells Angel, you must be so happy An angel comes. I am. Not having the best week, to be honest.
Oh.
That sucks. You guys remember? This was just a couple of episodes ago. He, like, went through hell and high water to try and get her back, and then she got back, and she did this.
It's not her. It's okay. It's not her.
And
it's not her, or it's not Connor. One or the other.
Hopefully it's not her. Connor can just die. I don't care about Connor.
And I don't feel like we even need to ask what Brittany's favorite line was, but Brittany.
We need Angelus.
Brittany's three favorite words.
My three favorite words. I've been saying this for a very long time, and I'm just glad that, you know, the old universe, which has existed for 12 years now, since my watching this, finally caught on. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's work our way to the best 5 seconds of Angel we've ever watched.
Okay. So, episode 410, Awakening. In this episode, Angel gets his Indiana Jones-inspired dream day courtesy of a ninja, and for a precious few 42 minutes, everyone is tolerable again. Angel reconciles with Wes, finds common ground with his son, and gets it on with Cordy in a fantasy sequence that awakens Angelus. So, again, first point, Connor is the worst.
He is the worst. Who? I just don't understand. I mean, obviously, he does not have the same, like, social skills the rest of us do. But, like, obviously, what they just found out is devastating. The world is falling apart around them. And he's sitting there being like, Dad, this is all your fault. Like,
he literally rained fire 2 days ago, and Connor is just being such a petulant child.
And he's like, Angel, like, if things get out of hand with Angelus, you need to kill me. He's like, aight.
And then Angel's like, okay, but only Angelus, right? Like, or only if things are in absolute danger. Like, he's like, not just for fun.
I said if.
Yeah, that was it. I said if.
I can't decide if it's, like, what's worse, the acting or the writing, because everything from him is so terrible. Like, everything from his stupid floppy hair to, like, just everything about it is terrible.
Not great, Bob.
They can't be doing this on purpose. This must not be what they intended to come out.
Yeah, it's like they wrote themselves into a corner and they keep trying to get out of it, and they just are going in circles.
I'm making him worse.
Yeah.
Yes, so Connor continues to be awful, and which should probably be a little clue that we had a dream sequence, because he started being slightly less awful at the end. So of course it wasn't real. So Wesley is like, we should bring in this ninja mystic guy to...
No. Wesley was... Yeah. The way you're saying it was like they had a group discussion. Wesley was just like...
Wesley just did
it. I'm going to go kick down this ninja's door and bring him back. And I was like, what are you doing? Can you talk to anyone without taking drastic action? Also, maybe knock.
And also, Angel keeps saying, yeah, I don't want to do this. Don't want to do this.
Oh.
Like, I don't want to do it, and you're all going to regret it if you do it.
Yeah, and Wes is like, yeah, no, you're going to do this.
Yeah, it's not good. Wesley, the last time you did something without consulting the rest of the team, you got your throat slit.
And we got Connor.
So maybe think about this. But he brings back this mystic ninja guy, and Cordelia kind of talks to Angel and basically convinces him to go through with this. So what were you guys thinking about this discussion that went on, Mai?
By calling him less smart than Angelus?
Yeah, but that was total manipulation move. I don't know. Watching this, I was just like, there's no way this is real Cordelia, because real Cordelia would never let this happen. She knows. She's the only one who knows how bad he is. I can't anymore.
Yeah, and it's basically her prompting that makes him decide to go along with it. So yeah,
but like, maybe Angelus is smarter.
He is. Not maybe, he is.
But also Angel is like in this moment smart enough to be like, I don't remember it and I should remember it, and bringing Angelus back, like, he's not going to tell you. Like, he's not. He's a master manipulator. And yet somehow no one's
true.
And also he's not nice.
No, he isn't.
I don't know, because now thinking about it, I don't know if I would say necessarily that Angelus is smarter than Angel. I think when Angel needs to be, he's very smart and he can get himself out of any situation, like really tough ones we've seen. But it's just that Angelus is willing to do things that Angel would never do. Mm-hmm. And that's why he seems so much smarter, because it's just like, it's like why sometimes you think people are funny, but they're not really that funny. They're just saying the thing that everyone else is thinking, but nobody else is like brave enough to say.
Yeah.
Because it's terrible. Like, that's what Angelus is.
I mean, I would say that Angelus plans a lot more than Angel does.
That's true.
He got that going for him.
What was the thing? Didn't he do something where, like, he hung Willow's fish up?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's so great. It's just so, it's, like, such a good character to watch. He's so horrible. Like, so horrible. He also, like, left a trail of roses for Giles to go find Miss Calendar, so.
Yeah, yeah. That's what makes him so horrible, is that I feel like he's extra horrible to these people because, like, he knows what they're like. And so he's able to manipulate them because he knows them so well. And
he knows where
do things that are extra devastating.
He really hates Angel, the version of himself with the soul. So he really goes out of his way to wreck the people that his self cares about. And he goes out of his way to do it as painfully as possible.
Yeah, remember when him and Buffy got possessed by the ghosts and he got depossessed and he took that really long shower because he felt love and human and that's why he's all.
And that's why, like, people are afraid that he's going to kill them all. But I don't think he would.
No, which, he's like, going to draw it out.
Because I don't want them to die. But yeah, I feel like he's going to draw it out and torture them and.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he tortured Drusilla to the point of insanity. Like, torture is his thing.
Yeah, I just think, like, I know it's horrible to root for this person, but I just think he's such a good character, and David Boreanaz plays him so well.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he plays him with such glee.
Yeah, I just love watching him. I mean, we weren't sitting there watching him sew Willow's fish, you know, or anything like that, but, like, watching what he's able to absorb and take in and then release back in such, like, a contained, what, perfect way, and just get under these people's skin and just completely devastate them. It's, like, so smart. Like, I know that word is what we're not arguing over, but disgusting. It's just, he's good. He's good at being bad.
He knows what'll creep them out the most and what'll scare them the most and devastate them the most. And I mean, that's what I'm excited to see, is like, how is he going to take the things that Angel knows about them? Because Angel knows so many secrets about all of these people, and be able to twist them into ruining their lives.
And literally none of these people are in a good emotional place right now as is.
No.
So they're already going to be even more susceptible to his manipulations, because they're already all really frayed and on edge and in conflict with one another. So it's only going to be worse. Again, it's putting gasoline on the fire.
Yeah. So this is a great idea, Leslie.
Yeah. But we should talk about Angel's perfect day.
Well, I want to talk about one other thing quickly. Something that really stuck out to me is the way that they're all talking about Angelus is like this other entity, basically, from Angel. And we know that, I mean, Ian, they're the same person. And we're seeing a lot of this on Buffy with Spike. Spike is the same vampire now that he has a soul, and he refers to himself as such. This episode is very specifically like, he will do this, not, you know, they're making him this completely other entity from Angel. And I was wondering how you guys felt about that.
I think because, I don't know, Angel and Angelus is so weird, because obviously, like we've seen with Spike, and I feel like as we would see with almost any other person, like Spike with a soul versus not with a soul, not that much different. The only difference is that he knows right from wrong now, so he's like nicer, but like his core personality is still the same. Angelus is so different from Angel. I don't know. What do you think, Brittany?
So I think that kind of goes, actually, I'm never going to talk about the episode we're talking about, so I'm sorry. Going back to the episode before this one.
Go for it.
I like had so much to say about this episode before, and now, you know, reverse. So when they're talking about, like, you know, oh, Angelus, it's like they're ripping apart this other person, like I was saying when we were talking about the last episode, like in front of Angel, and like Angel also hates this person, so it kind of like, it's like, oh yeah, that guy totally sucks, and then he looks in the mirror and he's like, it's okay, buddy. Like, you know, it's like, he's like, yeah, like, or he doesn't look in a mirror because it's totally fine. But yeah, he's like, you know, he knows what he did. He has to live with that every single day of his life. That's part, comes with the territory of having a soul. And like, to hear these people just like being like, no, but you don't understand, guys, like right in front of him, he's like, why won't anybody take it from me? It's bad. Like, it's, you put me in a room full of people, chances are all of them are going to be dead within 5 seconds. Like, he's, I don't understand why, like, no one is listening to him.
I guess what we're saying basically is that a soul, or what they've come down to, is like a soul is like having a conscience. And some people, like Spike, whether they have a conscience or not, are going to act a certain way. Like even on the Vampire Diaries, right? Like, Caroline, when they took away her conscience, like, basically she's still, like, doing the same thing. She still wants to be, like, the head drama person. She still wants to like bake her cookies. Like, people will still want to do things that please them. Angel, without a conscience, has no reason to do anything good, because for him the fun thing would be causing chaos and being a vampire. He doesn't have other hobbies except for the ballet, apparently.
Oh, the ballet.
Aww. And I was evil.
Oh, can you imagine?
Just imagine Angelus at the ballet, like wiping some tears away.
Snarling at people who notice.
That's pretty amazing. All right, let's talk about Angel's fantasy. Newbies especially, did you realize at any point before the reveal that it wasn't real?
I didn't, only because when the end of the episode was happening, like where it was Cordelia and Angel getting together, I was like, no effing way is this how they bring back Angelus. I was like, this is so stupid. I was so mad that they went that route. But then when it was like actually a fantasy, I was like, oh, actually, this was fine. So I did not catch on until the end because I was so pissed off.
I got spoiled on that this was a fantasy. But I kind of liked that because I was able to watch it, like, thinking about it as Angel, how he sees people. And I felt like that was really interesting as, like, a character study of Angel and how he sees the people around him.
Yeah, I think this one is worth a rewatch once you know what it is. Because a lot of episodes, I think, when you get the reveal of it was a dream, that it loses a lot of its rewatch worthiness. This one, works so well with that reveal because it's a really, like you said, Ariana, it's a great character study for Angel. So I think it's a really interesting twist, and most of the time that it's a dream twist is going to like piss me off, but in this one it actually works super well.
It is really weird that like from start to finish, this is his perfect day. Like his perfect day involves like battling monsters and
and being a champion and getting back together.
And then getting the girl at the end. And...
Mm-hmm. Mai, did you remember this was a fantasy?
Oh, yeah.
I did not initially remember, but I clued in pretty quickly. I was like, there's no way this is actually happening. Oh, yeah, this is a dream sequence.
When did you clue in? When Wesley said, I'm sorry, because he will never do that?
Before that, actually. But I also remembered that Angel or Angelus appears at the end of this episode, and I was like, there's no way this gets us there. Oh, yeah.
Again, in the same exact way.
Yeah.
It's always sex.
But I think what's interesting about this one is it's not. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Like, before, when he lost his soul, it was just sex with Buffy that was the pure happiness. At this point, he has developed enough connections and, you know, done what Doyle told him to do, basically, and connect with the world. So he needs all of these things to slot together.
Yeah.
Wesley needs to apologize. Connor needs to show like interest and love towards him. Wesley and Gunn need to reunite.
I know. How weird is that? That is like a, for his perfect happiness, like not just he has to be happy. Everyone around him that he loves has to be happy
he
too.
He needs his pancakes.
Exactly. Which I think is really telling about how much he, as a character, has grown. Like, I don't think sex with Cordelia would have done it on its own. If, like, everything was still going to shit around them and they got together, I don't think
that's good to know for the future. As long as there's always an apocalypse coming, you can get it on.
Pretty much.
And
so
I think, like, also this like speaks to like conversations we've been having like for a really long time, which is that like, oh, like in this moment, how come Angelus like it didn't come back here? How come Angelus didn't come back here? Well,
and it's his not friends weren't happy.
Asking. Yeah, it's not just me asking, you know, because I want Angelus to come back, but it's like true. It's like, oh, why wouldn't this be a moment of perfect happiness? Why wouldn't this be? And it shows that there's a lot more involved now in his life, which is like you were saying, like, I think it's great.
It's interesting to think that like at that point in his life, which I definitely think is true looking back, like Buffy was his only link to humanity. Like that's the only person he cared about in the whole
world. He was a creepy stalker. The same way like Spike is now too. Like Buffy's it. Like sure there are other people like those other people. The lesser beings on Buffy. Like, I think he likes Dawn. You know, I think he's.
But Dawn doesn't like him.
Yeah, but I think he secretly has a soft spot for Giles. He just will never admit it.
Poor baby.
You know, he doesn't care about anyone else, really. And so it's just Buffy.
So sad. Maybe that's why he has to come to LA, Brittany. Angel's like, yeah, you need to figure out who you are without this girl.
Not to bring the party down, but did we notice what Lauren's role in the happiness dream was?
What, nothing? Did you do anything?
Most of my connections. He's a slot machine to connections again.
Oh.
Lauren is so underappreciated by these people. Remember when they all went to the ballet and left him there to babysit?
It's true.
Let's talk about the other people on here. Sorry.
I mean, I was just going to say that Fred and Gunn also get kind of relegated to the side in his perfect day a little bit. Though hilariously, Gunn, like, gets the sword and, like, breaks the table.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Can I play with it?
I loved when he's like, can I play with it? And Angel just, like, gives it to him. I thought that was delightful. But Fred and Gunn and Lorne are.
It's kind of like a dad move.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of a dad move. But it was a little frustrating, like, knowing that it was a fantasy, like, thinking, like, Angel, is this really how you see these people? Like, the way that, like, Gunn just kind of acts kind of dumb with the sword. I mean, it's funny, but also, like, I feel like real Gunn would not really do that. Swing a sword around like that. Yeah. But
he's like,
you know, he would, but he wouldn't break stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was, like, very adorable. And, like, you know, Angel was just like, oh, look at him. Look, you go, champ. Go play with the toy.
Yeah.
And Fred is, like, a grown woman and a professional. She's not going to be there, like, covering up her eyes.
Yeah.
As they go over the tattoos.
And I feel like he thinks she's still so, like, innocent and, like, yeah, just wants to be in her room calculating numbers. And
she killed someone, like, 2 weeks ago.
Does he know about that?
He doesn't know, but I bet Angelus is going to know or find out.
Oh, can we just take a second to notice that the stuff they were reading on the monk was, like, on his ass?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping we were gonna skip that.
Part of his perfect day.
I know, like,
reading's a mess.
Exactly. So, getting information off the ninja guy's butt. So, okay, Angel.
Really cracked the case.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Ba-dum.
So, Fred and Gunn and Lorne are basically off to the side, but in this dream sequence, Angel, like, Cordelia has this vision, like, that they can conveniently get this sword that will defeat the beast, and they go out and get it, and they go through, like, these Indiana Jones adventures. Like, what does that tell us about him that
he loves this those
is
movies.
His perfect thing?
Oh,
I think he really idealizes the idea of being a hero. And, like, he wants to be a hero, and he wants to be, like, the kind of hero that people cheer for. And, like, in a really simple black and white kind of way, like we saw when he was in Pylea. And they were like, yeah, he's our champion. And he was like, yeah. And he really, like, had fun like that. I think that's who he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which honestly makes perfect sense, considering he is, like, the worst of the worst when he doesn't have a soul.
Yeah. So,
and his goal is redemption for all the horrible, evil things he did as Angelus. It makes perfect sense that, like, a perfect day for him is being this, like, really purely good champion, which is very human. So,
yeah.
Something I noticed in hindsight, realizing that this is a dream sequence, we only follow Angel and Cordelia when they get into the cave. When the group splits up,
yeah, because who cares?
And it's not
Angel.
It's not what he would know or be privy to, like, in his day, like, when a normal episode would have split between the two, which I didn't really notice it until I was looking back at the clues for all the ways that it was telling us along the way that it was a dream sequence. So I thought that was interesting. So he basically, for this to be the perfect day, he needs to make up with Wesley and Cordelia, who he is fighting with. The makeup with Wesley happens almost immediately.
Oh, it was so great. I just love them two together. And I can't believe I didn't catch on, because, like, that was something that should have never happened, like, in hindsight. Them just being, like, so, like, you cool? Yeah, I'm cool. And then I was just like, all right, now hug each other because you're so adorable. I just want them to be friends again, because I love when they were all just hanging out, and, you know, Wes would be looking at his books, and Angel would make a funny joke, and no one would laugh, and everyone would be like, Dad, come on. Guys, Angel loves us, so we love him too. You know, like, like, those good old days, and that's all he wanted to get back to. And, you know, this is all in his mind. He's just like, you know what, that's all it'll take. I just want an acknowledgement of the wrong, and I'll be able to move on with my life. And just seeing those two be a little buddy-buddy, like just, you know, standing there on the bottom of the stairs. It was great. I loved it so much. And I want it back.
It really is all he wants.
I know. Yeah. It's so simple.
A little apology is all it takes.
And it was a little apology.
Yeah.
Like the tiniest sorry.
But it fixed everything for on Angel's side. What I thought was really interesting, though, is that Angel, even in his dream, doesn't feel like he has anything to apologize about, which is interesting. Which, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I really feel like Wesley messed up much more. Like, he kidnapped his child.
Mm-hmm. No, Wes needs to do a lot more apologizing and maybe some groveling. But, like, the Angel's so over it. This is all he wants.
Well, and two, I think earlier in the season, Angel basically told Wesley that he has, like, they're more okay now that Wesley was the one who rescued him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, Wesley, I think, feels like the group owes him an apology too, because in his brain, he's like, you guys, I had my throat slit open. I was trying to help you, and this terrible thing happened. I almost died, and then you guys came and tried to kill me again, and then you all abandoned me. So Wesley feels like he's owed some apologies too, which is why he's never going to apologize as long as he feels that nobody else thinks something wrong. Which of everybody, I feel like Angel did the least wrong because it was his kid that got stolen. But somebody owes Wesley an apology, probably Cordelia.
For never going to see him after.
For never, yes. Because at least Gunn and Fred, they looked for Wesley, and they tried to make sure that Angel didn't kill him. Cordelia did nothing to help.
And Gunn is mostly pissed off that Wesley's trying to poach his girlfriend now.
Yeah.
Which, not cool, Wesley.
No.
He's really not being very cool.
No, he's not being, like, subtle about it or anything. He's just being a jackass.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he makes up with Wesley, and then they go on this mission to get this sword, and then we get, like, more hints, like, it's this, like, this trick in the wall that's miraculously in this language that Wesley understands, and, you know, it all just fits in very nicely with just enough complication to make you kind of go with it, be like, well, it's not too perfect.
Yeah. Like,
and then he makes up with Cordelia, and there's a whole lot of, you know, again, he just wants an apology. He wants some acknowledgement that he's been hurt.
Can we talk about Dream Cordelia for a little bit? Because, my goodness, this episode just made me so happy, sad, because she's so great in this episode. She's, like, funny again. She's quirky. She was like season 3 Cordelia. She's got that whole like sassy thing going on again, but also she's like warm and has feelings. And it was just, she's so different from everything we've seen this season. And I just love that that's his perfect version of her, is the way that we love her, where she herself isn't perfect, but that's his perfect vision of her, where she's a little bit, too much to handle, but also like warm and fuzzy.
So does that imply that the way she's being written in regular life is on purpose, or is it just bad writing?
I feel like it has to be on purpose, because they're clearly, like, they're not going to be like, ho, remember how good we used to be? And then like, sorry, we actually suck. Like, I think if they're dangling that in front of us, there has to be something bigger going on.
Either that or Charisma Carpenter is really not into this plot line.
Yeah.
I was going to mention that, actually. How do you feel about her acting in this episode?
In this episode? Well, I feel like she was better in this episode. This whole season, I mean, starting from, like, when she slept with Connor, I feel like her heart has not been into it.
Yeah.
Is that all you wanted to say, Mai?
No. I just think that she seemed, maybe it was the writing, but the whole thing felt a little bit happier when she was with Angel.
Yeah,
maybe
no.
It's just me. Maybe it's the shipping.
No, I think she was happier. I don't know if that was...
I don't know. She feels really...
an acting choice or just like...
Yeah.
She, like, it was written like, be happier in this scene.
All right. So Angel and Cordelia make up and then really make up at the end. We also get Angel and Connor first have to fight their feelings out because, like, father, like son, apparently. And then Connor basically is like, yeah, she really just wants to be with you. And then Connor comes back and helps Angel defeat the beast. And he's like all supportive. And he's like, his name is Angel. And
oh man.
So and if well. That wasn't a clue that this isn't real, I don't know. What it
was. Oh my gosh. Was so.
That was painful, but not as painful as when Connor was like, no, she loves you, Dad. I could feel it in her touch. And I was like, oh.
And that's Angel's perfect view of that conversation.
And Angel's just like smiling like, yeah, I know.
When you slept with your surrogate mother, you know, you could tell she really loved your father. Everything's terrible.
Yeah. I didn't know it could get worse, but thanks, Caitlin.
Always here to help. All right, so a big piece of Angel's dream is that he gets to be the champion. He defeats the beast. Hilariously, he's like, I have to go find the beast. And then the beast just like shows up at the hotel. Another hint that, you know, dream, because the beast just shows up and Connor comes in and they fight it. And of course they've said, you know, if you kill the beast, it's going to be this big explosion of energy and anything there isn't going to survive it. And of course they both survive it when they destroy the beast. So were you guys like shocked that the beast seemed to be dead?
Well, that was like a big thing. Like, this is the part of the episode where I'm like, these horrible, horrible people, they set me up to bring Angelus back, and then Angel's like, nope, can totally handle it on my own. And I'm like, what is happening here? I really want Angelus to come back. So when they were like, when they were starting to find like little ways to just write everything off, I was like, what is happening? It was so frustrating. But at that point, I was just more frustrated that I wasn't thinking logically, like, oh, this is happening for a reason, meaning it's not real.
It's all very neat and tidy.
It is, in retrospect. Mm-hmm. But when you're waiting for Angelus to come back, it's frustrating. I'm like not paying attention. I'm like, okay, just keep going. I was almost like gonna like fast forward. I'm like, all right, where's Angelus here?
Yeah, what Angel really wants, I think, you know, it's very telling. He wants all his friends to be getting along. He wants his son to love him. He wants Cordelia to love him and not his son. But that's what we all want. He wants to be the hero who defeats the big monster and then he gets the girl at the end. So we see all these things that are what makes the perfect situation. And it's all very neat and tidy. And Joss Whedon doesn't like neat and tidy things, so we can't have nice things.
I can.
So they, Cordelia and Angel, have sex, and I would just like to point out, as resident Bangel shipper, that when Angel starts losing his soul, he says Buffy's name. I would just like to say that.
I like you calling it losing your soul.
Just saying.
Angel completes. You are going to bring that up, Caitlin. But I don't think he... I would like to point out that in his dream perfect day, it's not Buffy he's banging, but Cordelia. And I think that he said Luffy's name because he realized he was losing his soul. Like he did when he got it on with Buffy.
I mean, that's... I don't know.
Yeah, it was a pain trigger.
Yeah, like, or it's like, oh, now I have to go get the Slayer.
I don't like that. I think you guys are cute. But I think it's telling that that's in there. So I'm just gonna leave it there. But I also would like to say that music that's playing when he and Cordelia have sex is actually super gorgeous.
Like, I thought it was funny that that's how he imagines him and Cordelia having sex, because I was watching it and I was like, I really feel like Cordelia would be a little bit feistier. Like, I feel like she'd be a little bit more fun.
And of course he's on top. In his perfect day.
It was very reminiscent. It was very reminiscent of like the Buffy sex scenes, which I hate. They're always so like sappy and uncomfortable.
I'm well, at sure least that there wasn't any Joss Whedon sex sounds.
At least, yeah.
But
it was like a little bit more graphic than I expected, though.
Yeah, it went on for a little bit.
Too. Yeah, there was definite like thrusting happening.
Yeah, yeah. I was like
did we mind though?
I did.
I did too. I would rather okay. not see that.
Fine.
We're getting a little soft core. That's okay. But then Angel like loses his soul, and then we get the reveal that it was all a dream. And
wakey wakey.
He wakes up and he looks over and sees Cordelia, and she just in his eyes, you know, she can see the difference. And then he laughs.
He's gonna torture her.
Brittany exploded.
It'll be fun to watch.
I did literally explode because like so. The end of this episode happens, and of course, you know, it goes to, like, the cut to black, and he's still laughing over the credits. I was, like, screaming. And then I was like, oh, I'm not waiting. So I watched the next episode immediately after. I'm like, no, not happening. So I'm just keeping everything to myself, and I will also not participate in the Angel half of the predictions for next week.
David Boreanaz is so good at that.
It was delightful.
It's just like such a switch because you see like perfect happy Angel in like what he envisions is his like fantasy day being a champion, and like that Angel is great, and you know just watching him with Wes and Cordy and the whole gang, like it's just there's that Angel, and then it's like it literally like in this episode it just something clicks. And it's like Angelus can come right out, and it's so good.
Especially when it was juxtaposed against like the sex scene, which was so like gentle and like with the soft music.
Yeah.
She's such a sap.
Well, he's no poet.
So Angelus is back, and Brittany had her happiest moment.
I did. I am now a soulless vampire.
Her pure moment of pure happiness when Angelus started laughing. All right, so any final thoughts before we move on to favorite scenes and favorite lines?
Nope.
All right. No. Let's wrap her up. So favorite scenes. Mine was just the reveal that this is a dream, because like we talked about earlier, I think this is one of the rare instances where that reveal actually works super well and actually makes this episode super rewatchable to look back and see all the clues and everything and see what it tells us about Angel. So I think This is one of those rare instances where the dream reveal is actually super effective. So the big reveal is my favorite scene. Runner-up is Gunn breaking the table with the sword. Because he's adorable. All right, Mai.
My favorite scene has been one of my favorite scenes for many years when it comes to Angel, and I'm not going to talk about it because it's Brittany's favorite line.
All right, so we'll leave it for Brittany. Ariana.
My favorite scene. Gosh, this episode was just such a wish fulfillment because so much of it was like, this is what Angel and Cordy could be if Joss Whedon didn't hate Chris Carpenter. But when Dream Cordy like apologizes like a normal human being, and then like they make like he takes her back so quickly. She's just like, I'm so sorry, I know you can't forgive me, and he's like, no, I forgive everything, like that's fine, let's forget about it, please let's make out now. And that's how things should be.
And do we even need to ask Brittany?
My favorite scene was when Angelus arrives with a million exclamation points.
Of course. All right. Favorite lines. Mine was between the Beast and Angel, and the Beast is saying, we could rule this world. Why would you oppose, or why do you oppose me? And Angel says, rain of fire, blocking out the sun, and you kind of just pissed me off, which just, I like Angel. Snarky hero Angel, always fun, and that's his quipping, kind of his version of being Buffy, I guess. So all right, Mai, your favorite line
is Angel to his perfect dream Wesley, it's just the first time I've ever heard you apologize about anything.
And he's got this like shit-eating grin on his face. Mm-hmm. That's delightful. Ariana.
Mine was when Angel says he's going to go take on the Beast by himself, which is a terrible idea if it wasn't a fantasy. And he's like, no, guys, like you guys are champions. And yeah, rah, rah. And then Cordelia takes him aside and goes, drop the Hallmark crap. That might placate the shiny happies over there, but I'm working with a little more investment. I can't lose you. Not now, not when we're just starting, whatever it is or could be. And I was like, oh, that's what happened. They lost each other before they even got started at the end of last season. And I realized that they haven't even had like a real kiss yet, which seems like absurd because they've had so many fake kisses, but they haven't had a real one.
Because we can't have nice things.
No. All right, Brittany, you're up.
Brittany, tell us about your nice thing.
my nice thing. So my favorite line, which I'm not going to do, I'm just going to talk about, is also Mai's favorite scene, and it's when Angelus laughs.
Mm.
And fear just sweeps through the room. Like, it's like palpable how terrified everyone is. And I loved the fact that it just, like, stretched over the credits.
They're not scared enough. They don't know.
They're not scared enough. They will be soon, I hope.
I think David Boreanaz should play more villains.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I love the way he turns his head on the table. Stuff.
Oh, yeah. When he just is, like, looking at
slow-mo.
Oh, my God. It's so good. I might rewatch it.
It's a little bit sexy.
I've rewatched it a couple of times. I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. Not the whole episode, but that scene.
All right. We should wrap up so Brittany can go rewatch that and be blissfully happy. So if you guys have any thoughts about these episodes or anything we had to say about them, just a reminder of how you can share your thoughts with us. Email your spoiler-free thoughts to us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Tweet your thoughts to us at @re_watchable. Comment on this post on hypeable.com. Find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can also review us on iTunes. It helps other people find the show. And if you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will find a ninja to grant you your perfect fantasy. But tattoos optional. So we have two pieces of listener feedback
from the same person.
From the same person.
You guys need to step it up. Write in more.
Adriana, would you like to take that?
Yeah, this is from Laura Morrow, and her first piece was, she said, "Hearing the hosts say they like Willow now made my year. I've been waiting and waiting for Willow's storyline to turn people to like her. Yay." Do you like Willow now, Brittany?
No. She's clearly skipping all of my episodes. I do not like Willow at all.
I was surprised last week when you guys said that you liked Xander now. I had to turn it off, and I was like, I need to cool down because I don't like Xander. No.
We said we liked him in that one scene.
No, I hated him in that scene. I was so angry because at the end, when Dawn is sad and he comes in, and again, he has to make everything about himself.
Oh, that scene.
That's what he does with everything. And it really frustrates me that in this series, which is about powerful women, they have to keep reiterating again and again and again that the most powerful person of all is always going to be the mediocre white man, which is what Xander stands for. And they're just so obsessed with this idea that he's so great, even though he has no powers, which, first of all, the fact that he has no powers is his own fault. Think of Angel, where nobody has powers and they're all perfectly competent and helpful people. And Xander's still there like, well, I don't have any powers. And second of all, Xander is not like Dawn at all. Dawn is really cool. Dawn was the key. She has lots of powerful magic and energy in her. Also, she is learning to do things because she realizes that she needs to be a helpful part of the team instead of just fixing windows. So, whatever. That just made me really
angry. Yeah, she
tries. Yes. Yeah. I'm really angry that Xander gave that speech to her because she deserved better. But anyway, moving on. Laura Morrow also said, "Buffy's final speech in Bring on the Night remains a series highlight for me. You are about to start my favorite part of the series. Enjoy."
Buffy. All right. So we will wrap up our episode with our predictions from the newbies. Brittany's going to step out for the Angel because she's already watched it.
I know you all understand.
So we've got Adriana's assumptions and Brittany's brainstorms for Buffy 713, The Killer and Me, and then just Adriana's assumptions for Angel 411, Soulless. Go ahead, guys.
Buffy, we left off where? We have little people in training and they're kicking ass. So maybe we're going to learn more about the first in this episode, because we did say last week on the podcast that the first has kind of been on vacation and, you know, really procrastinating, not doing his job, and they feel like they have all the time in the world. So maybe they start to not have all the time in the world because the killer is inside of them, or could be inside of some dead person who's going to come back.
I agree. I don't know. I don't know what the killer in me stands for. I would have said it stands for Spike, but he's already had a killer in him. So I don't know who else has the first inside them. I know Mitch thinks that Giles might. I don't think so, though. I think that's the real Giles.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know. Maybe he's right. Like, honestly, I never thought he was dead when you guys thought he was dead, because I was like, guys, if they were going to kill Giles, they would show it on screen. Like, that's the rule of TV. If you don't see them die on screen, they're still alive. But whatever. As for Angel Soulless, fun fact, I've also seen Soulless because it was the one episode I watched on TV before we started all of this. I caught a rerun of it once at my grandparents' house. And
you also kept this from me. Everybody kept this from me.
I did. What's really funny is I didn't know when it was coming, and I also didn't recognize any of the people, because like now all I have is like memories of it. Like, I have a memory like Angel trapped in a cage, I didn't recognize. So like when we started Angel, I was like, none of these people are from that one episode I watched. It's funny. But yeah, so, I'll get to watch it again, and it'll mean something this time.
Yeah, so if we've both seen it, well, going by the title alone, guess who's back?
Back again. Again.
The boys are back in town. Oh. All right. All right. So we will find out what happens. Again, we are watching Buffy 713, The Killer and Me, and Angel 411, Solace. I promise the weird watching order will soon make sense, guys. I promise.
Pinky promise.
Yeah. All right. So that wraps up our discussion for this week. We will catch you all next week. Until then, my name is Caitlin.
I'm Mai.
I'm Mariana.
And I'm Brittany.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Lovely unison, guys.
We're getting good at this.